Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
Going after greenhouse gases.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. In Europe today, what could be a historic summit? The EU wants to cut carbon emissions 20% by 2020. Our European correspondent Stephen Beard has more on this from London.
The key thing about this meeting is there's a very strong feeling here in Europe that Europe has got to take the lead. This will create momentum. It'll build up pressure, especially on the US, so that all the major industrialized countries, including the US, will sign up to this deal at the G8 summit in June.
Now, we've talked about this a bit over the past few weeks, but how realistic is it that Europe could actually do this?
Cutting greenhouse gas emissions is going to involve some economic pain. And the EU leaders haven't worked out exactly who and which sectors are going to bear the bulk of the pain. We've had already so many examples of performance falling well short of promise. I mean, yesterday we had the EU's energy commissioner admitting that putting a price on carbon so that it pays to cut emissions and it costs money to increase emissions, he admitted that system had been a failure.
Well, then going back to what you said originally, if there's so much skepticism about whether they can actually do it, why would the U.S. or any other country go along with it?
Well, that's indeed a very good question. We have the British government urging the U.S. and the rest of Europe to face up to climate change. But only yesterday, the British government's own environmental watchdog produced a report showing that 4 out of 5 government departments increased their emissions over the past 5 years. And one of the worst offenders was the Department of the Environment. A television company the other day took some equipment down to the House of Commons and produced a thermal imaging picture which showed the lights blazing in every window, all the heating systems going at full pelt. The place was literally full of hot air.
All right, we'll leave it at that for now. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Across Asia today, stocks finished higher. Japan's Nikkei shot up almost 2%. Early on in Europe, there are some gains as well. Yesterday on Wall Street, minor losses. The Dow fell 15 points. The Nasdaq lost 10. The S&P 500 dropped 3. It's fair to say the Time Warner AOL merger 6 years ago was one of the worst deals in corporate history. Investors got royally, you know what. A lot of them sued. Yesterday, Time Warner agreed to pay $144 million to settle one of the last suits. Pat Loeb reports.
Ohio Attorney General Mark Dant says the Time Warner settlement sends a message to Wall Street and corporate America.
We will not tolerate fraud, stock manipulation, or deceit. If you abuse the public trust and steal from taxpayers or Ohio pension holders, you will pay the price.
Ohio pension and workmen's comp funds were among dozens of investors that sued Time Warner after the 2001 merger. They claimed AOL inflated its stock with false revenue reports. After the merger, the stock price plummeted from $58 a share to $8. Time Warner has paid about $3.5 billion so far to settle the suits. Spokesman Kevin Kokoza.
These events occurred some 6 or 7 years ago and are something that the company has been focused on putting behind it.
Kokoza says the company hasn't admitted any wrongdoing. I'm Pat Loeb for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by A.G. Edwards, caring for nest eggs for more than 120 years with a commitment to provide objective financial advice.
Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan is obviously not going quietly into that good night. His comments about the economy last week helped spark this recent stock market sell-off. Greenspan has a more pessimistic outlook than the new Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke. Our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell, is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
What is Greenspan doing?
Well, that's what everybody wants to know. Does he still think that he's the head of the Federal Reserve? Is Ben Bernanke being dissed by his legendary predecessor? I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Now, I have no proof. I have no knowledge. But I think Ben Bernanke is going, thank you, Alan.
Why?
All right. Now, here's the reason why. We have this implosion that's going on in the subprime mortgage market. There's lots of concerns that the implosion in that market is spreading into the more creditworthy parts of the housing market. And if that continues, that will affect the economy. That all of a sudden, this one-third probability of recession could be true. Now, what does former Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan do? He talks about risk, because he didn't just talk about recession. He talked a lot about risk, that he is disturbed. He's never seen the degree of complacency about risk. And the global economy woke up. I think central bankers are cheering Greenspan. They're saying he did our job. This is wonderful.
So Greenspan is doing the world a favor, in other words.
He is doing the world a favor. And I think, you know, in a way, maybe he is the central banker to the world.
Well, on the subject of the subprime mortgage market, how big of a concern is this to you?
This is a real problem market. It is spilling over into the creditworthy market. I personally don't think that it will take down the rest of the economy. I don't see it leading to a recession. By the way, if you really want to worry about something, what I'd worry about is we had that sharp drop in China. We know that there's a lot of bad investments in China. We know that it has been an enormous boom. And when you have booms like that, you mask a lot of problems. And I am more concerned about the repercussions of a China market meltdown than I am about a subprime mortgage market meltdown.
Well, we'll keep talking about this. Thanks for your theories.
And you know, this is part of the dialogue that makes markets.
That's our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gall. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.